housed within the Environmental Conservation Lab on Treaty 1 territory, home of the Anishinaabe, Cree, Oji-Cree, Métis, and Dene people, you're listening to the Akiwan Podcast. This is Episode 8, titled Anang Dabajamowin, which is an Ojibwe word for star stories. In this very special episode, we speak to the star man himself, Wilfred Buck, who will share stories with us about the stars from a Cree perspective. Bonjour, Tansi Bindegang. Thank you for tuning into Akiwan. I am very, very excited about this episode, which focuses on Indigenous cosmology and star stories. Now, I guess so many other people, have been fascinated with the stars for as long as I can remember, always asking for telescopes as gifts or star books, and even studying it as a post-secondary student. I don't study it. That's not my major study, but I've taken many classes that focuses on the stars and astronomy. So when I had the chance to do this episode, I jumped, and I jumped high for it. Now, we've all spent nights under the stars pondering the makings of the universe. We've used the stars as maps for travel, for guidance, for support, and appreciated their mystery and beauty. As Indigenous people in Canada, we share sacred stories about the stars, their creations, and their teachings that come with them. Though these stories may differ from nation to nation, as many stories do, we have all been taught and gifted the star stories that have been passed down from our ancestors. Now, before we listen to some of the Cree star stories that Wilfred shared with us, I just want to share a little bit of information about the Anishinaabe people and their stories because, well, I am Anishinaabe and Ojibwe from Broken Head Ojibwe Nation. Because the stars, they move east to west, we believe that when we pass on to the spirit world, our spirits travel to Nenga Binanang, the western sky, and that new life and knowledge emerge from Wabanang, the eastern sky. So these constellations and star knowledge, they relate to the seasons as they change and reflect on ceremonies and, of course, on storytelling, which a lot of our teachings do. Our history is storytelling, basically. Some of these stories include the hole in the sky, the fisher, which actually Wilfred talks about, the sweat lodge, which is another one that he talks about, the loon and the north star, and so many more. If you ever want to learn more, you can always email us. We're on Facebook and all that kind of stuff as well. So if you want to learn more about the star stories, just let me know. And as I mentioned, it's not just the Anishinaabe that carry star stories, but also the Cree Nation. As someone who is Ojibwe and not Cree, I couldn't pass on the opportunity to speak with one of my role models, somebody I look up to, which is, of course, Wilfred Buck, a.k.a. the Star Guy. Wilfred comes from Opaskwayak Cree Nation, which is up in northern Manitoba, and he's been studying the night sky for many, many years. I've actually had the opportunity to work with him a couple times, and I knew that when I wanted to do this episode that I had to seek out his knowledge and collaborate with him for the show. And luckily enough, he agreed and our schedules all worked out. So I'm very ecstatic to be sharing his stories about the stars and creation and share them with you, beginning with his journey and how we come from the stars.
Greetings. My name is Wilfred Buck. I come from Opaskwayak Cree Nation, northern Manitoba. Of course, I am Hininyo Cree. One of my mandates is to put First Nation perspective in the sciences. And so one of the ways we're going about doing that is through astronomy. Did a lot of research on Ininuk, Achagosuk, the Cree stars, and in doing so, run across Anishinaabe stars and Dakota stars, Lakota stars, Nakota stars, Siksika stars, all kinds of stars from all over the place. And one of the things I found is that all of the ceremony that's done is done in relation to the sky, to the stars. And all of the ceremony and the songs that are sung, all of these things are in relation to the stars. And you're directly connected to the stars. We are energy. And we come here to this place, Mutaiski, this earth here, to come and visit. This is just a little stop-off point in our existence, in our other reality. We are beings of energy, beings of light. A name our people have is Kishikugak, Kishikugak. Kishikau is what they call day, the daytime, the light of day, Kishikau. Kishikugak is a being of energy, being of light. And that is essence what we are, our spirit, or what people like to call our soul, is energy. So when Creator had a thought, Creator thought about this energy, and this energy came into being. And so this energy is all over the place, and we are a part of that energy. And then what happened was there was a particular being of energy. Her name was Achagosisque, we call her now, Star Woman. She was traveling the cosmos, and she came across our neck of the woods in this reality. And she saw the Milky Way, and then she saw a hole in that Milky Way. And she looked through that hole in the Milky Way, and she saw Earth through that hole. And she wanted to go visit, because she was really intrigued by what she saw. She saw the water, she saw the plants, she saw the animals, she saw the clouds, she saw the thunder, she saw that I heard the lightning. And she was really intrigued, and she'd like to go down there and visit. So she tried to go through that hole in the sky, but she couldn't do it. She realized she needed help, but she also realized that another of her kind was the keeper of those doorways. And in the Milky Way system, the keeper of that doorways of those doorways is Kugumnagasis, which is Grandmother Spider. So Grandmother Spider sits on the Milky Way. And if you ever look up in the sky at night, right inside the Milky Way, there's a W that the Roman Greeks call Cassiopeia, the W in the sky. Well, from our people, that W is part of a larger constellation called Kugumnagasis, Grandmother Spider. So the inner point of the W is the head of the spider. And the two outer legs of that W is the front legs of the spider. And so she sits right on the Milky Way, right above the hole in the sky. So the hole in the sky that we're talking about is the Pleiades, the seven sisters. We call it Bhagwangisak, the hole in the sky. And so that's where Star Woman was looking down, and she saw Earth. So she approached Kugumnagasis and asked her for assistance. And Kugumnagasis said, yes, I'll help you, but there's three conditions that you have to agree to. One condition is that when you go down there, you have to take a physical form. So Achagosisque said, yes, I'll agree to that. Another condition is, she was told that when you go down there, you got to take a gift with you to remind you of where you came from. And so she said, okay, I agree to that. And the last condition was, when you go down there, you can't stay long. So again, Achagosisque agreed to that. And so she was lowered down, Grandmother Spider send a single strand of webbing to that hole in the sky, and Star Woman come lower down to Earth. And when she touched the Earth, she took a physical form, and that physical form was the human beings, was us. And the gift that she bought was the star blanket, the original star blanket. That was the gift she bought to remind her of where she come from, and those that would come after her, remind them of where they come from and where they have to go back to. And as for not staying long, how long is long for a being of energy? So she stayed a lifetime. So through her, we all come to this place, Mutaiski, to come and visit. That single strand of webbing that Star Woman got lowered down from, we come through that. We call that the umbilical cord. And that's how we all get here. The babies are wrapped in a star blanket. And then at the end of their journey, when it's time to go back home, again, they're wrapped in their star blanket before they go back home. And this is to remind everybody, yes, they're going back to Bhagwangizik, the hole in the sky. They're going back to the other realities. So the original star blanket had 7 points on it to represent those 7 visible stars of the Pleiades. And as time went on and more of us came to this place, somebody had an idea that we should honor the first grandmother, the one that first came here, a Chagosisko, Star Woman. So the way they honored Star Woman was they added another point to that star blanket. So nowadays the star blanket has 8 points. And that's why, because one of those points represents Guwumina, the first grandmother.
Wilfred is an inspiration for many people, and hearing him speak with such passion is always such a treat. The last 2 stories that he shared with us are about the Sweat Lodge and about the Big Dipper, a.k.a. the Fisher.
Well, the Sweat Lodge is, there's a number of ways. My people call the Sweat Lodge Matutsan. Matutsan. And the root word for Matutsan is Matu. Matu meaning to cry. So that's the Crying for Pity Lodge. And it's in the sky. There's a group of stars that the Roman Greek mythology named the constellation Corona Borealis, the Northern Cross, the Northern Crown. And that's in the sky. And our people, one of the stories, we look at that and we call it Matutsan, the Sweat Lodge. And it goes in conjunction with another group of stars right directly across the sky from it called the Pleiades. And we're told that Matutsan is in the sky, especially in the winter, in the fall time and in the winter time and the early spring. One side of the sky, you'll see the Corona Borealis. On one side of the sky and directly across from it, you'll see the Pleiades. So that's the Sweat Lodge, and that's the Sweat Lodge Rock, the Sacred Fire, or the Pleiades, where the Sweat Lodge Rocks are. And the altar for that is the North Star, Kiweitin. So they're in a direct line at various times of the year. And you can see them right in the sky, especially in the wintertime. And of course, that tells the story of a little boy named Ashiniawasis, Stone Child. And Ashiniawasis, prior to him getting the name Ashiniawasis, he had a different name. And we're told that his name was Tigum. So Tigum means louse, I guess you could translate it. And anyways, Tigum, at a time when the people were sick, a time when the people were scared, when the people were hungry, when the people were cold, when the people were without hope, when the people were starving, Tigum went out and into the wilderness and fasted. He fasted for 7 days. And during that time, he was given dreams and he was given instructions on how he could help his people. And so he was shown how to make a lodge with willows and how to cover that lodge with hides and how to dig a pit in that lodge where the rocks would be placed and then how to heat up the rocks. And not only that, but what kind of rocks he had to use. And and how to make that fire. So he was given all these instructions and he was given songs and to sing in that lodge. And so after 7 days, he went back to the community and he told the people what he had to do and the vision that he'd had. And then, so they built the first sweat lodge, Matutsan. And he went in there and he cried for pity for the people. And that was how the Sweat Lodge came to the people, was to Ashiniawasis, Stone Child. And so that's why he was given that name, Stone Child, because he was using those grandmothers and grandfathers, those rocks. That Big Dipper was Ochik in the sky, the fisher in the sky. And he said at one point, there was no summer in this part of the world. The animals, the plants and everything lived in cold. And they survived. They scraped a meager living from whatever it is they could find. And then they heard from the animals, heard from the birds, that way down south, there was no winter. It was summer all the time. So Ocheek the fisher said, well, I'd like to go down there and I'd like to maybe trade with those people down there, those relatives down there to bring back some summer for us so we can have summer too, instead of being cold all the time. And so him and some of his buddies, they traveled down south. And sure enough, the further they got down south, the less snow there was. And pretty soon there was greenery. And pretty soon there was, it got so warm that they were sweating away. And pretty soon there was sand all over the place. And the short little plants. And then they came to a village. And in that village, there was this big, huge teepee. And it was a sacred lodge, they were told. And in that sacred lodge, that's where they kept summer. And so they had a medicine bag that they kept summer in. So Ocheek and his friends went to parley with these people, the beings there, and asked if they could trade somehow for a little bit of summer to take back, because they were cold up north and they needed something to warm them, to give them hope. And so the beings that were looking after the summer, the bag of summer, said, no, we can't give you none, because we heard how cold it is up there, and we want nothing to do with that. So I'm sorry, go away, they told them. Ocheek the fisher said, well, they don't want to give it to us, so I guess we're going to have to see if we can sneak in there and get some. So that's what they did one evening. They snuck into that teepee, sacred teepee, and they went on a raiding party, and they got some summer. And so as they were in the process of getting summer, they got discovered. So in their haste, they just grabbed whatever they could, and then they took off. So Ocheek had a piece of summer with him. He never had much, but he had a little piece with him, and he took and he stuck it in his felt, and he took off. And then they chased him. They chased him all the way back to the North Country. And in the end, they were catching up to him, and Ocheek took to the trees, and he was running, jumping from tree to tree with a piece of summer. And as he did so, one of the hunters got a shot at Ocheek and hit him right in the tail. And the way they tell the story is that when Ocheek got hit in the tail, he flew up into the sky, and then he got stuck to the sky. So that's why the dipper's in the sky, right where the bend of the dipper is, the handle of the dipper, right at that bend is where they say Ocheek got shot, and he got pinned to the sky. And if you look at that bend, there's a binary star there. It's called Alcorn Mizar. And so one of the stars represents the arrow that Ocheek was shot with, which he pinned into the sky. And as he was in the sky, pinned to the sky, he threw down the piece of summer he had, and everything thawed out. But it only thawed out for a while and stayed warm for a while. Then it got cold again. So that's how that's how Ocheek brought summer back for us.
Ekozi Wilfred for joining us for episode 8, Enang the Bajamowin. If you'd like to learn more about indigenous cosmology and star stories, please email to akiwan@umfm.com. You've reached the end of the Akiwan podcast. We'd like to thank Wilfred Buck for sharing with us, to UMFM 101.5 for hosting the podcast, and of course to you for joining myself and our guests every single episode. If you'd like to be involved with Akiwan or would like to contact us, please email akiwan@umfm.com. Chi miigwech.